die now. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at Asylum Fantasy Football, it's a football Friday.
Yes, indeed. Welcome into the Asylum. We are Fleeger and Briggs, and welcome aboard. Drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter. The slow crawl to 1,000 continues at Asylum Football.
And we are slowly getting there. I tell you what, slowly.
Inching ever closer.
That's right. You can hear us on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Absolutely. So here we go, Rick, heading into, what are we, week 9 now? Is that what it is?
Sickening, isn't it?
Terrible. What are we going to do all the rest of the winter and the summer? I mean, the season's over now. We might as well shut this thing down.
No, never do that. We'll find something to rant and rave about.
Hunting, we could do a hunting show.
No hockey.
No, we don't have any hockey. They already canceled the Winter Classic, so I think we're looking at another full year off for that. I've about had it with that group.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one group that can't afford to be canceling all their games all the time.
No, you're not kidding, but that's the way it goes. They want to seem they think they can get more revenue sharing.
Yeah, apparently. So, what we'll do tonight, typical Friday theme, we'll hit some headlines, we'll break down last night's debacle, we'll do our starts and sits, some fact or fiction, any of your questions, and we'll take your calls. And Rick, right out of the gate, we have a call already. Why don't we just jump right to it?
Yeah, why not? I guess we can do that.
All right, hold on, let me find a button here. Area code 609, you are on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. We got Jersey in the house here. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, great. How's it going out there?
I tell you, we're at not so bad. I'm about 40 miles away from, you know, the shore area there. We had a lot of tree damage and stuff, you know, in the town and around us there. But my buddy's got a place in Ocean City, New Jersey, and his was okay on 14th Street. He got about 3 feet of water in his garage, but his house and stuff was fine. But I'll tell you, the Jersey Shore and New York Shore and Connecticut and Rhode Island, man, it's devastated. It's like a Katrina all over again along that shore area. They got hit bad, so I thank God my power never went out, and I feel bad. My prayers go with the families that don't have electric and different things out there. So, yeah, we were better, a lot better off than what a lot of the coastal, you know, states and stuff had out there. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, definitely scary. 4 days later, not a lot of headway seems to be being made, and you're seeing food shortages and gas shortages. It's terrifying to believe that's, you know, what, probably less than 300 miles away from us, Rick, and it sounds like, what, 40 miles away from you? That's terrifying.
Yeah, and it's gas around here is not a problem. It seems like New York, North Jersey, some of those areas there, from what I've been hearing, there's been some issues with gas, people getting generators and stuff. So you thank God that, you know, it didn't hit us as bad, you know, my place, but, you know, all the people along the coast got hit. So, like I said, our thoughts and prayers go with those families that are going through that kind of stuff there. And so I guess I'm lucky. All I got to do is worry about what quarterback to pick up. These people are worrying about where the hell they're going to live, right?
Well,
I guess different priorities, you know what I mean?
That's right. You have your power, so we'll solve your quarterback conundrum. What you got going on?
Hey, what I have is I got Brady on a bye, and I was going to go with Fultz, but Andy Reid screwed me on that. Here's what I got. It's a point for every 20 yards passing, and like I'm in. And it's also bonus points where if, say quarterback hits 300 yards passing, you get another 4 bonus points, you know, along with a point for every 20 yards, 350 yards, another 8 bonus points, so forth, okay? A passing touchdown is 6, and a rushing touchdown is 10. Whether you're a receiver, a quarterback, or a running back, it's 10 points for a rushing touchdown.
So, 10? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's weird. I'm 6-2. I've scored 1,210 points. The guy I'm playing 5-3. He's tied for second in his league, in his division. He scored 1,220. So he's got Breeze. And he's loaded too like me, but I'm missing my big guy, Brady. But what I have left to pick from is really slim pickings. You got basically Skelton, going against Green Bay in Green Bay. You have Wilson going against Minnesota in Seattle. You have Blaine Gabbert going against Detroit in Jacksonville. You have Ponder going against Seattle in Seattle, which I don't like that. And you have Hasselbeck going against Chicago in Tennessee, which I really don't like that. So that's basically what I had to choose from. And I was wondering, you know, what are your out of that bunch, based on my scoring situation or whatever I may get, what do you think the best guy to pick up? Like, you know, 1 week wonder for this week, and then go back to Brady next week.
I tell you what, I'm kind of leaning towards Russell Wilson at home myself. I'm starting to lose a little confidence in Ponder.
Right, yeah, I don't want him.
Yeah,
I was thinking
Sidney Rice
Wilson,
to come on.
Yeah.
What did you say there?
I was looking between Wilson and Blaine Gabbert. I think Gabbert's got to throw more. I think they're going to run the ball a lot and do a lot of ball control there. They're starting to have him throw a little bit, but he's never thrown more than 200 yards. He does play better at home. Minnesota has given up the last couple of games 19 points at the quarterback position. So my choice, again, not that it, I mean, Skelton could throw a lot, but he knows he could be on his back a lot. I was looking between, like you said, Wilson or maybe Blaine Gabbert. He did throw a 300-yard game.
You're going between those two, and I'm just going to hush up and let it over to the other Rick, but if you're going between Wilson and Gabbert, it's Wilson all the way with me.
Yeah, I think no question about it out of that group. Skelton, you know, they'll be from behind. That doesn't mean he's going to be able to hit anything. You know,
right.
if Ponder wasn't playing Seattle, he's the best quarterback on that list. But that Seattle defense in Seattle is untouchable. I think Wilson, with your scoring system, you know, has the ability to move around a little bit. Maybe you'll get lucky and you find a rush touchdown somewhere. So not a lot to pick from there, but probably the best of that bunch based on matchup is definitely Russell Wilson.
All right. That's what I was waiting. I was waiting for tonight to be able to make that pickup. And like I said, I appreciate that. Hey, last question. What's your thought on? I have Hanson as a kicker in one leg, and I got Graham as my kicker in my other leg. But I also have what's it called as my backup in both legs. I have Hartley. Now Sweezen's available in both legs from Pittsburgh. Sweezen's had 17 attempts, made 16. Hartley's had 9 attempts, made 7, because they've been always going after the 6 they've been behind. Do you still stay with Hartley as an option? Because I have other two guys on my fingers. Do you pick up a Sweezum, since Pittsburgh seems to stall a lot, and drop Hartley? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I do like Sweezum because, like you said, when they between the 20s, the Steelers' offense has been incredible this year and really struggling in the red zone. And look, the only kick Sweezum's missed this year was from 52 yards, I believe it was. For some reason, I don't know where this all came from after seeing him play elsewhere, but the kid can't miss. And I say when it comes to kickers, you know, obviously most of these guys, their accuracy is pretty average, pretty much in the same place. But look for a guy who gets more attempts, and I think Sweezum's a guy you're going to see get the most attempts. So I definitely move some guys and get Sweezum in the lineup. Now,
okay.
Bear in mind that may be short term as we get into later in November and December when the weather gets bad and they're playing in Heinz Field. It's about impossible to kick there. But for a few more weeks here while the weather's different or better and while they're on the road, I'd maybe go with Sweezum here for a few weeks.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, because Hanson's been doing good for me. So is, Shane Graham. I have both of them in the league. So, again, I had Hartley as my backup to both. And so I just was thinking, you know, you always look at dome guys and stuff, but the problem, like you said, with New Orleans, they kept going for the sixes instead of because they were behind so much. You know what I mean? So that's why I was wondering what that there. All right, I'll definitely do that, and then I actually had Wilson before, and I tried Castle. Then they were my backups, and I forgot I could sneak in with Falk, but. It's weird because a couple of people I talk to, they're like, yeah, it's either Wilson or Gabbert. They think Blaine could have a good game because of the soft Detroit thing, and he may have to pass kind of like he had to do against last week against Green Bay, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm torn between the two. Will Wilson throw enough to give me 20 points maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I don't see, you know, I could see Lynch struggling a little bit, Minnesota rush defense, fairly stout. So I think they'll have to throw. I think it's going to be a tight game. I said, I think what you're hoping for is a rushing touchdown and one of those deep bombs. They try that to Sidney Rice a couple times a week. Could
right.
Push over the top with those guys.
All right. I'll go Wilson. Guys, I appreciate it very much.
Oh, well,
love you guys this weekend. Thanks for asking about Jersey. You know, we appreciate that there. And again, thank God, you know, we're a heck of a lot better off than a lot of people. And like I said, my thoughts go out to those families. So thanks again for asking about that, guys.
Well, that goes the same for us. And, you know, you guys stay safe.
All right. Thanks
yep.
for calling in.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, there we go. A good call right off the top, Rick. That's fun. I hope we get more callers. That's fun taking these calls.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully we made the right decision
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, that's slim pickings. There's probably a lot of people in his boat this week, you know, with Tom Brady down. Usually you draft a guy like Tom Brady. I know me, Rick. I generally don't even carry a backup quarterback in a league where I have a quarterback I'm comfortable with. You know, in leagues where I waited till the seventh, eighth round to take a quarterback, I'll tend to carry two. I have that league we're in, I'm carrying Luck and Schaub and playing matchups. But if I got a Breeze, a Brady, one of these guys, I'm not carrying a backup. And it's 1 week a year, you find yourself in this situation.
Well, that's the way I was. You know, I drafted Breeze with my first pick in our league and didn't even have another concern until he went on a bye and ended up picking up Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
actually, I've got him stashed on the bench.
Yeah,
he's been doing pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not letting him go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, Rick, let's jump in. Let's get to the headlines. So we'll try and get through everything here today. I'll hit him real quick. Nothing earth-shattering. Ben Tate going to be out this week with a hamstring against Buffalo. Obviously, you could have had a good week, a terrible Buffalo run defense. You know, interesting. So Arian Foster, he might run for 300 yards this week. I'd be surprised if he was less than 150 is where I'd put the over-under for Arian Foster this week.
Yeah, and surprising. Tate's the guy that's hurt, you know, when you talk about them. But, yeah, it doesn't look all that promising for Buffalo going to Houston. And, the defense Houston has and the defense Buffalo has and vice versa working the offenses against him, it could be a long afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Next headline, found this interesting. Now, just going back to what the caller was talking about, the situation in New Jersey, we have received confirmation that our boy Jay Smooth, Jason Consoli, all's good with him, right? I know he had no power, but he's all right. Am I safe to assume that?
Uh-huh. He actually tweeted a picture of New York City.
Okay,
yeah.
So good. I'm glad he's okay. So then I don't feel as bad putting out there that Darren Sproles out indefinitely after having surgery on a broken hand today. The bet is over there, Jay Smooth. You let us know where to send that Roethlisberger jersey, and we'd like some pictures.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be plenty of Twitter pictures with that.
You know, I probably oughtn't to get too far because, you know, Jinx Shady.
Down we're already ahead.
Yeah,
that's
true. We're ahead. So huge news there. I'm curious what you think that means, Rick. Is it big for Pierre Thomas? Does Mark Ingram reemerge? Without Sproles, do you want no part of the New Orleans running game? Because he was never part of the running game. You could play him as a running back, but he was a third receiver is what you're playing him as. Any value added to a Pierre Thomas or a Mark Ingram, who I think has been one of the biggest disappointments this year?
Yeah, I think actually Pierre Thomas is probably the bigger beneficiary than Ingram. You know, and I was actually just looking at some stats today that you brought that up. You know, I don't think Chris Ivory has had a carry yet this year.
He had a great preseason.
And you know, yeah, like you said, a great preseason and, you know, pretty successful campaign last year with his limited playing time, and he hasn't done anything. So I think it's probably just more of the same, to be honest with you. Sproles is down. Now Ivory's in the mix, and it's just going to be three backs in there, and it's the same New Orleans machine.
Yeah, and there's just not a lot of value there unless you're in at some tight bye week situations or injury situations. Maybe try to grab Thomas. Rashard Mendenhall and Jonathan Dwyer coming off of two nice weeks, doubtful this week against the Giants. Redmond looks like he's ready to go. He will get the start this week. Probably gives Redmond a little value, maybe not above RB3 low-end flex value, but if you're facing some injuries, if you're facing some bye weeks here, here's a guy you can probably plug in. The Steelers offensive line seems to be getting the job done. They've been able to run the ball a little bit. Teams have been able to run a little bit on the Giants. Probably not a terrible plug and play. A guy's probably still out on a waiver wire somewhere.
He's a starting running back. And like you said, you're running into some bye weeks. And, you know, I mean, let's look at some of the running backs. You know, your Frank Gore's out on a bye. Sean Green's on a bye. Ridley. And, and Steven Jackson. So, certainly, you know, there's some room to plug somebody in there. And you got a starter. Might as well get him in there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, moving on. Here's just a list of guys who have been limited in practice but are probable this week and should play, Rick. I'll just list them all off. Donald Brown, Felix Jones, Brandon Pettigrew, Titus Young, Trent Richardson, Marshawn Lynch, Andrew Luck, Percy Harvin, Adrian Peterson, Roddy White, and Peyton Manning, all probable and should play this week. So feels pretty safe in getting all those guys in your lineup.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
And the last piece of news I have, again, going back to the situation in New York and New Jersey, apparently Governor Chris Christie tells Roger Goodell that the Steelers and the Giants game won't affect the Hurricane Sandy rescue efforts or whatever you want to call them. I'm not sure what the best theme is. So it looks like the game's going to go on as planned. They're not going to be losing any police presence or for security and things like that for the game. Not expected to affect anything. So it looks like the game is going to go off as planned. Any thought, Rick, to it being a disadvantage to the Steelers? Not that you want to talk about this, but the inability to find hotel rooms in New York and getting in and out of New York, Steelers not flying in till Sunday morning. I think that could have some effect on the game. I'd be a little worried about the Steelers in that scenario.
Well, it's a very short flight, and it's not like you're crossing a time zone or anything of that nature. Provided the flight and all that kind of stuff is on time, it shouldn't have much effect. Now, that being said, the chances of it being on time and everything, you know, that can put some pressure on the team, you know, especially if the flight arrives late and so forth. And plus, they have to get up early.
I don't know what time you have.
It
to
could.
I mean, look, I don't think.
Hey, they're 25-year-old men. It's not really not going to affect them that much. Yeah. However, the tension of you know, the routine you know, is broken.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think another thing to look at, you want to talk about distractions. Presumably, all of these Giants players live within these affected areas or near these areas. So they may be facing bigger issues than the Steelers having to fly in that morning. I heard a lot of talk this morning on Pittsburgh radio, you know, and it's a good point. You got the gas shortages. It's really hard to get around that area. That stadium could be half empty, so that's probably going to make a weird system for the Giants. This whole game, the whole thing's just strange. I don't want to say I think they should cancel, but I think the whole thing's just going to be off. And to predict this, I'll tell you that, well, this much, Rick, I wouldn't bet on this game because I don't think you have any clue what's going to happen.
No, I agree. You know, it's strange.
The
game.
Giants players, probably a lot of them displaced or without power, dealing with the community in general and everything that's going on. You have, you know, the trouble with fans getting there, the stadium potentially being half empty, the Steelers coming in late. I don't know what to make out of this game.
No, I mean, it'll be interesting just to see it, you know, to see what's going on. But, time will tell.
Yeah, hopefully that gives you another day and a half. Hopefully they can make some headway, get these folks helped out there. So, Rick, that's about all I have for headlines. Nothing big there. Let's jump in real quick. I don't want to waste a lot of time on this game last night. I just bring it up because I'm sure you have some strong opinions. Number one, after declaring that Phillip Rivers was basically dead to me, a decent game last night, but I certainly think it could have been better. 220, two touchdowns, another pick. Just not the Phillip Rivers I thought he was going to be this year. And a winning effort and a good effort. He just wasn't great in a game I think he should have been great in.
I agree, and this whole game was
almost
disappointing. It is. It's just
he's getting here we go again. If you didn't listen Tuesday, go back. Rick made that last statement that after silence about seven times, and it was all revolving around the same people.
And it,
what
I,
a perfect
I,
game for Thursday night.
I just can't say. I mean, you see, you know, Jamaal Charles. 12 carries.
Yeah.
It's not just Kansas City. I mean, you look at Ryan Matthews. What do you have, 14?
13 carries.
13,
67
okay.
67 yards.
Yeah, he had 13 carries. And you talked about, you hit it on the last show. I mean, how many times did you see, you know, Barry Sanders, you know, 1 yard, 2 yards, minus three, 158.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. And
you got to feed a guy like
no
Jamal
Charles.
Rhythm
there.
The ball.
It's Kansas City, you know, right hand off to Charles, right tackle. Second down, we try a pass. Third down, if they incomplete pass. Well, let's bring in Dexter McCluster with the Wildcat. I mean, it's just, you know, it was just so terrible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and here's how it broke down. Jamal Charles, 12 carries, only 39 yards. Peyton Hillis gets 7 carries. Dexter McCluster gets 6. You got a guy like Charles. I don't want to compare him to Barry Sanders. I don't think there's ever another Barry Sanders. But this guy plays similar, and the same things happen. You got to grind with him. You got to get him 15, 20 carries. Eventually, he's going to break one off. He's going to get a rhythm. As soon as he hits the seam, he's taking it for 50 or 60, and he's going to the house. But splitting the ball up, having Hillis throw it in there for about 2 or 3 yards to carry McCluster out of that stupid Wildcat that they don't do it right. That's about all I can do. There's my brilliant analysis. Kansas City don't do the Wildcat right. It drives me nuts.
And, you know, and it doesn't matter who it is. Hillis, no rhythm. You know, Charles, no rhythm. I mean, you know, there's no continuity in a line. You can't tell me Peyton Hillis hits a hole the same time Jamal Charles does. You know, in the blocking schemes, and of course, McCluster. There's another, you know, totally different there. There's no rhythm to that. And you have to try to force the will on another team.
Especially when you struggle in the passing game the way that team does.
Yeah, and you've got a Pro Bowl wide receiver. You've got a Pro Bowl running back.
Two of them. I'm sure Peyton Hill has made the Pro Bowl 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
An athlete like McCluster is a value if he's being used appropriately. But here's a guy I want to talk about, the takeaway for this game. You know, the other thing interesting, Dwayne Bowe, 8 catches. That was nice to see, although he put the ball on the ground, 8 for 79. Nice to see him target. He's had a lot of 4 and 5 catch performances lately. But let's talk about Dexter McCluster, Rick. 2 catches last night, was targeted 6 times. On top of these 6 carries, he was targeted 6 times. I looked back in the last 3 weeks, he's been targeted 22 times. That puts him almost at a solid number 2 receiver, and coming out of the backfield in PPR leagues, this guy might be creeping up to a little bit of value. The yardage isn't there and the touchdowns aren't there, but a guy who's this involved in the offense and touching the ball that much, I'm going to start paying attention a little bit.
Well, yeah, if he's getting some catches. And, you know, he's pretty small. He's a lot like Darren Sproles, if you think about it.
I mean, last night only 2 catches on 6 targets.
But they don't seem
targets.
To use him like Sproles.
No, not they don't
and
use him right.
Thing.
Romeo Crennel, he don't do it right. That's
don't,
the theme
don't
of the
get
show.
Me started on Romeo.
Don't do it right.
He's not sure why they don't have the carry. But, you know, that brings to mind, you know, we're talking about the headlines. You know, of course, Jamal Charles suffered an injury last night.
Yeah, neck injury.
And
that was scary looking.
Yeah.
Helmet came half off. That was a scary looking hit.
Now, the last thing I've heard is classified as a neck injury. The severity of it, I do not know.
I think that's what you call a potential concussion when you don't want word getting out that he may have a concussion. He has a neck injury. Although, aren't there those neck concussions? Who had one of those last year? Remember, I thought it was the strangest thing I've ever heard. You remember that?
I do remember, and I can't remember. I cannot remember the name.
But it could be something like that. But yeah, that was a nasty hit. He thought. I'm surprised he wasn't flagged on that.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just I'm really losing. You know, I was so high on Jamal Charles at the beginning of the year, and just the ineptness of play calling and the whole scheme of the Kansas City team is just killing me.
Yeah.
I'm really losing a lot of luster for Jamal Charles.
Yeah, I mean, they've just been bad, just that simple. So let's move on, Rick. We've got about 35 minutes left. I want to have lots of time for fact or fiction. Let's move on. We'll give our starts and sits now. I want to make sure so you don't yell at me again like you do every week. So we'll start with quarterback starts, and I guess we both have to do a start, right?
It's very simple. Okay. We do this, you know. Okay, I'll do quarterback start first. You know, and I kind of preface it a little bit. Isn't it interesting? Of course, Tom Brady's on a bye this week, but I was ranking my quarterbacks, And 1, 2, and 3 are Breeze, Rogers, and Manning. Boy, that's familiar.
Yeah, yeah, that's real familiar. No question about
it. But my start, I mean, obviously, you know, people, if you have them, you're starting them. I really like Matt Schaub going against Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm faced with the fact I just brought up earlier because it's always all about me. I've had a league where I have Schaub and Luck, and I'm playing the matchups, and I've been playing Luck almost exclusively recently. I'm leaning toward Schaub. Here's my only concern, Rick. I made the point earlier, Arian Foster, there's no reason he shouldn't run for 472 yards this week. Are they going to throw enough to justify it?
Well, you could look at it on the bright side. It could be quite a few swing passes to Arian
Foster. You could hope for that, too, and he'll break every one of them for a touchdown
and
against that
Andre
Buffalo.
Needs to be fed a little bit. If there's a time for Andre Johnson to break out, I would think against Buffalo. And, you know, he threw for 256 last week. And let's face it, I think, you know, Fitzpatrick, he may throw three or four picks or whatever, but I'm sure he's going to be trying to air it out as well.
Yeah,
so
he may spend a lot of time on his back in this game against a good Houston
I agree.
Defense. So, Rick, my quarterback start this week, a guy we spent a lot of time talking about on this show, and I honestly would think about benching him in a lot of weeks. However, this week, a real good matchup against the Washington Redskins. I think Cam Newton set up for a pretty good game this week.
Yeah, you know, Ben didn't have much trouble with him. However, he didn't have that much.
Wow.
Maybe I'll try it again. He didn't have that many yards passing.
Broadcast professional.
And, yeah, we were just talking about don't do right, ain't getting right, and all this other stuff.
I didn't say it like that.
No, I agree. It's pretty good. That's going to be an interesting matchup there.
That's going to be a high-scoring game, I have a feeling. That one's going to be fun to watch.
And before we came on the air, we were talking. I saw that one story about RG3 and doing the comparisons with him and Cam Newton similarities. And he came out and said he'd rather be compared to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he says, I'd rather be compared to Aaron Rodgers or a guy like that, someone who has won Super Bowls. You know, it's a good point. I don't think that was a shot at Newton. I think the person who wrote the story for Pro Football Talk actually nailed it. He said it's lazy journalists making a lazy comparison between RG3 and Cam Newton for an obvious reason. And I believe the quote he used, and it ain't the Heisman trophies that they're using. And I agree with that.
I do too.
So why do you compare RG3 to Cam Newton? Then, to be fair, I did it in the preseason a lot. I believe we had a show called The Cam Newton Effect, so maybe I shouldn't rant on that for too long.
No.
But to be fair, admittedly, I am
see
lazy.
What you're saying.
So. All right, Rick, how about we sit a quarterback?
Okay. These guys are coming off a bye, and I just had another little stat here, which is kind of interesting. Now, if I would ask you of this, as I muffle through these papers here. Boy, if you had that game show stuff there, I tell you, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Rick just rifling through. Well, they're waiting for you to speak.
Okay, what do New Orleans, Buffalo, Tennessee, Washington have in common?
Probably the 4 or 5, however many teams you named, worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nice.
But they're the only 4 worse than Baltimore.
Now that's interesting. Okay.
Now, I'm looking for a bounce back. They're playing in Cleveland. They're coming off a bye. And I do not like Brandon Whedon this week at all.
Yeah, yeah, they could be hungry. They could be angry. It seems like a game. You talk about Baltimore, and we talked about Whedon, you know, sort of getting high on him, and then a terrible game last week. But Baltimore's down. They're not out. And going into Cleveland or Cleveland going there, where's that game being played, Rick? Do you know offhand?
They're in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, Baltimore going there. They're not going to have a letdown. And I agree. I think Brandon Whedon could be in for a rough day. For me, Rick, it keeps going back to this Schaub Andrew Luck thing. For me this week, I'm sitting Andrew Luck. A little banged up this week, probable, expected to play. We've talked about it a lot. At Miami, sneaky good. That's a good defense. And I could see Andrew Luck struggling this week against the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, look, you got Donald Brown. You know, he's probably going to play, but their running game isn't what's dominant, and Miami handles the running game better than just about any team in the league,
yeah.
Say maybe Chicago. But, yeah, I can see them having a rough time against this defense. Now, they are playing in the dome, but I don't know. I'm starting to really like buy into Miami here.
Yeah, no question about it defensively anyhow. So, Rick, how about you start a running back?
I think going against Tennessee, I think the Bears are bad, and I like Matt Forte.
Yeah, Matt Forte, hadn't heard a lot from him, finally got in the end zone last week. This is a game he's gearing up to really become. This guy was picked late in the first round of a lot of drafts and hasn't lived up to that value between the injuries and just hadn't put up a lot of numbers. It sort of, for a while there, became an air show with Cutler and Marshall, but I can definitely see Matt Forte stealing most of those carries away from Bush and having a good week. For me, Rick, it's a guy you're starting every week anyhow. Just want to point out, coming off his first real rough game of his career, Alfred Morris this week against Carolina. I'm going to stick with that game. I think he's going to have a big week. You're starting him anyhow, but this guy, I'm looking for a top five performance out of him this week.
I agree. And to everyone else, surprise, and I'm sure 99% of the people surprised, Shanahan is going with this guy and sticking with him.
Now, bear in mind, this means he will cut him in the offseason.
Yeah.
And he'll bring in some other undrafted free agent you've never heard of who will probably have similar success. We're getting back to that. He's not doing the midseason carousel like he's done in Washington. He's going back to his Denver days where he can pluck anybody off the waiver wire, plug them in, and they can have success.
But it's making fantasy owners very happy. He's going with this running back. He's using them, and there's no, running back by committee. It's Alfred Morris. And look at the running game.
Royster, Macy, five or six.
Yeah,
snaps
to give him a blow here
nothing,
and there, sure.
But yeah, it's all Alfred Morris all the time. Obviously, he's an every week start. He's a low end number one fantasy running back. If he's not a number one, easy number one fantasy running back. Just sort of making the point, he's going to have a big game coming off the first real rough game of his career last week against Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, and I mean, you're talking, Alfred Morris is third in the league in rushing, and with the year of running backs so bad in fantasy this year, this guy's a stud.
Oh, no question about it. He's probably right. He's probably a top five fantasy back, not even a low-end one. So how about somebody you're sitting this week, Rick?
Well, just as I was starting to really buy into it, and I don't think it's going to be so much his fault, but as much as I like Forte, I do not like Chris Johnson going against that Chicago defense this week. Now, I know there's buys out there, and, if you got somebody else to start other than Chris, on your team that's not on a buy, I just don't look for much anything against Chicago.
Terrible game from Chris Johnson. That's actually the one I had written down, Rick. I think it's the obvious one. If I have to give a backup right off the top of my head, I'm not even going to pick one. I'm going to give you both C.J. Spiller / Fred Jackson against Houston. I think they're going to be behind early. They're not going to be able to run the ball a lot. Not a lot of running room against Houston. I think just a bad matchup altogether for the Buffalo Bills offense generally. So bench those guys, but I think obviously CJ2K was the one I had number one on my list as well.
I can actually see some garbage points like a Fred Jackson or something.
Maybe.
With some passing to the running back as they're behind.
Yeah, but one? There's the problem. Which one?
Yeah, exactly. But, I'm starting to think it's Fred's job to lose again.
It always is. It always comes back to Fred, no matter who's there, no matter who's having success and who's not. It always comes back to Fred Jackson. So let's jump to the wide receiver position, and we can get to fact or fiction.
Okay, they're playing at home, which is a very difficult place for opponents to play. He's been coming on the last two or three weeks, and I kind of like Sidney Rice as a wide receiver start.
Yeah, interesting. You talked about it with the caller. You liked how he was coming on and how he could help Russell Wilson. He is. It's not big. You're not seeing 100-yard gains. It seems like he's finding the end zone consistently. He is the deep target. When they get down in the red zone, he's the guy Wilson's looking for. I agree. I like that pick. Sidney Rice becoming sort of a sneaky flex play, especially through bye week time right now.
Yeah, he's got the size, he's got the speed, and he's a talent. And, maybe this just maybe he's going to be healthy. I don't know.
It'd
be nice to see him, go the rest of the year uninjured.
Absolutely no doubt about it. For me, Rick, sort of similar thing. Going back to that Baltimore-Cleveland game, Torrey Smith coming off the bye week going up against that bad Browns defense. I think Joe Flacco is going to have a nice week. He's probably number two on my list of starts, and I like Torrey Smith this week against Cleveland.
Yeah, I really do like Torrey Smith. And, you know, to Cleveland's credit, they've actually been playing some defense the last couple of weeks, but I can see Baltimore really exposing them.
Yeah,
this week.
Just feel coming off the bye week. They've been hearing for 2 weeks. They had that awful game against Houston before. They've been stewing on that for 2 weeks. Yeah, they've got some injuries, but that's still a pretty good football team. And I think they come out and take all those frustrations out on the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
And this is coming, I know, and probably a lot of people are, it's coming a lot from memory as well. I mean, you know, we have all these memories of Baltimore,
yeah.
You know, and they bring up these images of rough and tumble and Cleveland being so bad, which, you know, Cleveland really hasn't changed that a whole
no,
lot.
No, they haven't changed
Baltimore
that
Baltimore certainly
very
isn't
much.
The top-notch team there, but I think they're going to take them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I'll tell you what, I'll start the sit this week, Rick, sitting at wide receiver. Keep going back to this Houston-Buffalo game. It's a theme. Stevie Johnson, I'll tell you what, I haven't been impressed with him all season, and I could really see him struggling this week against Houston.
Yeah, he's certainly going to be getting the top coverage, and Buffalo really hasn't seemed to be able to put much together offensively, and none of the other receivers are really picking it up. Jones is not, you know.
And Scott Chandler's just disappeared off the map for two or three weeks.
And Nelson, I think, is out. So they're just not much else there, and they're going to be watching Stevie Johnson and the running backs.
No question about it. So why don't you sit a receiver, and we'll head to the game.
Okay, now, you know, I briefly took over the lead league with that monster game one time, but has since been dropping, you know, Brian Hartline.
Yeah.
Just not somebody I really want to be thrown in there. I'm not saying bench him, you know, in like a flex spot if you're kind of stretched, but
I might say that.
I might.
Really done,
but they are playing Indianapolis is the only thing. But I just don't look. He's just not big numbers. You know, Devon Bess is quietly only about 100 yards behind him in receiving. They're virtually equal in the catches. So I don't know. There's just not a lot there as far as I'm concerned with Hartline. There's no consistency.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, Rick, I'll tell you what. I wrote down two questions I really liked. I think you answered these guys either on Twitter or via email, however they came. But two questions I liked before we get into the game. The one came from, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Chantine Weighs On. He had two questions, actually. He's got a tight end dilemma. And this is a dilemma for me, actually. And we talked a lot about this guy last week. But Jason Witten or Tony Gonzalez, that's a dilemma.
It is a dilemma, and a lot of people would say, boy, I'd like to have that dilemma. No, you wouldn't.
No.
I'm telling you, it's tough. But with me, it's Witten, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're talking PPR, because he is Romo's security blanket the whole way, and he doesn't find the end zone as much this year, at least, as
Tony
Gonzalez has. But the PPR, now standard – That's a bit more of a dilemma because
Gonzalez finds the end zone more. I'm probably going Gonzalez in standard. He didn't say if it was PPR or standard, I don't believe. But I'll tell you this much. If your flex is a running back, wide receiver, tight end flex, go ahead and start Witten at tight end. You'd have to find me a pretty compelling player that I wouldn't think about in most weeks putting Tony Gonzalez in that flex and playing both of these guys.
Exactly.
Unless you have a Doug Martin or somebody like that you're playing in a flex. There's most wide receivers you'd have as your third wide receiver that I would play Tony Gonzalez over. So if you can do it, you may want to consider playing both.
I would agree with that. But, you know, I'm going to stand in PPR and you only can choose one. I would certainly go with
Yeah, I agree with that, especially in a PPR. He had another question. Pick two, Rick. Reggie Bush, Jordy Nelson, Andre Johnson, or Steve Smith?
Yeah, I'm not sold on Jordy Nelson. I know they're trying to push him. They sat out against Jacksonville, but they're trying to push him to play this week. I just don't like, you know, wide receivers.
Playing a bad Arizona team, I don't think they need to rush him back. Even if they do bring him back, I think they'll take it easy on him just based on matchup.
But I like Reggie Bush, and, you know, going especially with PPR, I think his value skyrockets. And and what were the other two?
Andre Johnson and Steve Smith.
Right. And I tell you what, after last week, I hate to bench Steve Smith.
Yeah,
I'd have to go with him against that Redskin defense.
Yeah, Rick. I don't hate that, Rick. I'm going to just, for 1 week, we talked about it before the show, actually. Andre Johnson's going to have to get off at some point here. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to be this week against Buffalo. I don't want to be caught with him on the bench when he finally has that 9-catch, 180-yard, 2-touchdown performance. If it's going to happen this year, it's this week. So for me, it's him, and I learned my lesson with Steve Smith. I'm never benching him again. I like Reggie Bush, but I'm going to, for 1 week, I'm going to play Andre Johnson over him.
And I certainly can't argue with that because it's, yeah, he's going to go off here sooner or later, and somebody's going to have him on the bench and pay for it. You know, Andre Johnson I'm talking about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the other question I liked, and I actually wanted to throw it out, is Dave's a Road Warrior in the chat room today. He's more of a Dynasty expert than we are, and I'm trying to get a grasp on this Dynasty thing. Dynasty Pete, Brian Hawks asked, Dynasty PPR, is it crazy to trade Larry Fitzgerald for Dez Bryant right now? At first blush, I'd say not crazy, but I wouldn't do it. I think at some point, if Arizona could get a legitimate NFL quarterback in there, Larry Fitzgerald, to me, if he isn't the best wide receiver in the game, he's number 1B after Calvin Johnson. Dez Bryant's just such a wild card. He can go off at any week. Is it crazy? No, but I think even with all the issues, Fitzgerald not incredibly older than Dez Bryant when talking Dynasty. I think I'm sticking with Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. And, you know, looking in the chat room, Dave says the same thing. It's tight, but, you know, he wants Fitzgerald as well. I'm the same way. I like, you know, he's a better talent. And the crux of the matter is the quarterback situation. And, you know, is Arizona going to get another one? I don't know.
Not
you
right
know.
Now, but eventually
not this
they
year.
Could.
But, you know, we're talking Dynasty, so, you know, I got to think something's going to change there. They're realizing that they cannot survive without a potent offense.
Yeah, no question about it.
So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Fitzgerald. I mean, we're talking the future here. So
Brian, there you go. We agree, plus the thumbs up from a true Dynasty expert at Dave there for the Road Warriors. So you can take that advice straight to the bank. So, Rick, it's time. That's the last of the questions. It's what everybody tunes in on Friday for. It's time for Fact or Fiction.
Okay.
We have a theme song. Fact or fiction? Why are you shaking your head at me?
Oh, it's just wonderful.
All right, that's enough of that. Rick's waving me off.
No, I'm not doing anything. I was just envisioning Pat Sajak running
right.
out.
So, the new theme song for Fact or Fiction. You're welcome out there, Rick. All right, I'll start this show. We talked about it already. Fact or Fiction, Rick, Pierre Thomas scores over 10 fantasy points this week against Philadelphia. Really? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think he can get in the end zone, maybe catch a couple passes, and you know, there you go. And, you know, maybe have 30-yard rushing.
See, there's a question. 30-yard rushing, I agree on. The end zone, I don't know if I agree on.
I'm not sure, but
assuming Jimmy Graham's back and healthy, that's his territory. But does he slide into the Darren Sproles role in catching the ball? That's what I can't figure out. I'm going to say no, but you may be right. That might be something we'll be talking about on Tuesday. I'm going to say Darren Sproles is such a specialist at that. I don't see Pierre Thomas slipping into that. But that's where Pierre Thomas could have his value if he takes over that role.
Well, you know, time will tell. I don't know what New Orleans is going to do. But, you know, like I said, we may see Chris Ivory all of a sudden.
Who knows? Yeah.
But, you know, he has a chance at it. I mean, you know, Jimmy Graham gets knocked down to one, they'll hand it off somewhere.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, they might just throw it back to Jimmy Graham, though, is the problem.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little, not so much a...
All right.
But I'm
going
to say...
So you're going outside the game. I get a theme, and now you're going outside the game.
Would you...
Would I? I
start...
Oh, okay.
Antonio Brown at the Giants... Or Steve Johnson at Houston?
Antonio Brown at the Giants, hands down. I think, you know, the Steelers should be able to move the ball against that team. That game's such a toss-up, I really don't know how it's going to end. I think Eli Manning's going to be able to move the ball with that offense very well against the Steelers' defense, and so the Steelers could be playing catch-up or at least playing keep-up. So I like Antonio Brown in that scenario. I'd like Mike Wallace more, but Antonio Brown, still a number two fantasy fantasy receiver. Steve Johnson, he's been a low end too, if not a flex as it is, and going up against that Houston team and with Ryan Fitzpatrick laying on his face most of the day, I think it's Antonio Brown easily.
Okay.
All right, Rick. Well, I'm going to get us back in the theme. I think I've asked this question every week, and I'm going to continue to do it. Fact or fiction, Darren McFadden backs up his 100-yard effort from last week this week against Tampa Bay. We're going to agree. It's going to be no fun if we keep agreeing.
Yeah, I don't think Tampa's going to be giving up 100 yards to Darren McFadden. I think they're going to make Carson Palmer beat them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not let the obvious guy beat him. So, no, I don't think he's going to.
I agree 100%, sadly.
It is sad. Okay, just to get back with the theme, because you like to push the button.
Yes, I do. I like to play.
Okay. Hayward Bay versus Tampa Bay will have more points than Anquan Boldin at Cleveland.
I'm going to say no. That's close. I like Boldin in this game. I like Hayward Bay. I'm not playing either of them, I think, is my point. So I might give your whole question one of those. I'm not sure what the scenario is. I don't want to be down to Anquan Boldin, but Hayward Bay is so hit or miss, especially in a PPR league. I think that's where Boldin separates himself a little bit. Boldin could have six or eight catches for 22 yards. Right. That's a lot of the stat line he's been putting up.
But see, that's where some of these questions come from, because, you know, we get a lot of questions, and there's players out there that aren't that experienced. I mean, they've got these guys on their teams. And they're trying to throw together.
Shame on all of you.
Well, lesson learned, but maybe they're in their first or second year,
right,
you know.
All right.
You know, cut them a break.
Well, if they'd been listening to us in the summertime, none of that would have happened to them. So to you, I say. All right, Rick. Fact or fiction, Mr. Doug Martin has over 100 total yards this week against Oakland. So thinking he can back up last week.
I think he's easily good for 80 yards rushing and, you know, throwing some change on receiving 40 yards.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good stat line for him. What you're hoping is he finds the end zone to have a big week, because I think that's been a pretty standard stat line for him. 60 to 80 yards, 20 to 40 receiving. If you even get in the end zone like he did last week, I think everything changes for Doug Martin.
Okay, I'm going to get away from the theme, however.
Is there a button I can push?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Push for the first guy.
Okay.
For the second guy.
I'm never going to remember that. I might just push that one.
Reggie Bush at Indianapolis.
Okay.
Or Doug Martin at Oakland.
Oh, you son of a gun. Which one's both?
Woo!
Is that both? No. If I had to pick one, I'm going to take Doug Martin. It's close, but
okay. Fact or fiction?
Okay.
Reggie Bush has more fantasy points than Doug Martin. Okay.
I don't think he does. Yeah. See, he could have just yielded it that way, and I wouldn't have had to push all these buttons. I think it's close. I really do like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush has a tendency to disappear a little bit every now and again for stretches. And Daniel Thomas starting to see some touches there, starting to get a little more of that workload. Not enough to be alarming, but getting a little more, while LeGarrette Blount is getting less in that Tampa Bay offense. So I think on a week-to-week, I like Doug Martin. And this week, the matchup versus Oakland may be a little softer than the matchup against Indianapolis. Barely, though. That's a tight one there.
Okay.
All right, so I'm up here again. We already talked about this. I'm going to scratch this one out. Fact or fiction, Rick, Trent Richardson goes over 100 yards this week against the Ravens. No. Wow. As bad as that Ravens rush defense has been.
I just don't think they're going to be able to. I don't know. They're just – I could be totally wrong, but I just think Baltimore's going to come out. They're going to jump on them early, and Whedon's going to try to do a little too much. He's going to have a rough day, and I just don't see him – and I'm not saying he's not going to get 80, 85 yards.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to play. And watch it be a 10-7 game.
Well, you know, Ray, and I'm going to go way out on a limb here. I like to do this once an episode. While I think Baltimore wins this game and handles it easily, if there's a chance that Cleveland keeps it close, and I think with all the Modell stuff going on this year and everything, I got a feeling, I don't know why, and it just sort of came over me. I agreed with you when I wrote this question down. The more I think about it, I'm almost feeling like Trent Richardson. You could see him. I'm going to predict he goes for over 200 total yards this week, finds the end zone at least once, probably. You know what, the heck with it. Over 200 total yards, two touchdowns. So I'm going to sound like a real buffoon when you play this back next week. But I just got a feeling, as bad as that Ravens rush defense has been, he could see the ball 40 times between receptions and rushes. I got a feeling. So there you are. Trent Richardson, 200 total yards, two touchdowns this week. Well, that's right. You're well. That's a bold prediction, not like the week Rick told you to sit Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, or the week Sean Green.
Yeah, Sean Green. All your Twitter love is done. The moment is past, so move on.
Oh, no, it hasn't. And look at his performance since that bold prediction.
So,
he has been a pretty solid player.
So you're taking credit for Sean Green's recent success.
Of course I am.
All right, go ahead. As long as the show benefits from it, I'll let you do that.
Okay. Brandon Pettigrew will have more points at Jacksonville than Greg Olsen at Washington.
I don't think Pettigrew been disappointing. Dropped some balls. He's been banged up a lot lately. Hasn't been getting the red zone targets I thought he would get. Greg Olsen been impressing me lately and going up against Washington. It's a team, you saw the success Heath Miller had last week. The tight ends can get off pretty well against that team. So I like Greg Olsen this week, and I've traded away Brandon Pettigrew in one league this week. I'm about done with Brandon Pettigrew.
Okay, yeah, and another one of your trades, the guy's hurt. Dwyer, you trade him for Dwyer.
Well,
yeah.
It was a throwaway. I had Jimmy Graham in there.
Right.
So, but, yeah, as soon as I, you know, we could do that. Email me or send at asylumfootball@gmail.com or at asylumonfootball. A player you really need to be injured for your upcoming week, I will attempt to make a trade for him, and he will get injured in practice that day. So shoot us those emails, and I'll take care of that for you. So, Rick, back to that game. Cam Newton, fact or fiction, Cam Newton has over 250 total yards this week against the Redskins.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of yards gained in that game on both sides. And, yeah, I don't think that's going to be hard for him.
Yeah, I think this could be one of those goofy 400-yard passing games that pops up for Cam Newton every once in a while.
No.
I really like him this week.
No.
Remember what happened last year every time you said no to Cam Newton? What does the gong mean? That wasn't even in context.
It is. I said no. And that's, you know, that
so
is.
Your word is
that
gong.
That seals it right there.
All right, so the gong seals
I have seen it.
All right. All right. You are a seer, that's for sure.
You got it.
As long as you have your glasses on.
Okay, we've already talked about it. You already brought up that one, so we don't need that. Here's one here. And this could be a dilemma from a lot of people, especially with the state of the running backs. And I'm going to go away from the theme because I just want an answer.
Ugh.
You starting Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis versus Denver.
Okay.
Michael Turner versus Dallas.
It's got to be Michael Turner versus Dallas. That Denver defense is good. They've sort of gotten away from the run game. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, for all the dap we've given him, apparently it wasn't enough. Really struggling this year. Yeah, Turner saw those 26 carries. I can't remember what it was last week.
24, I believe.
Yeah, so somewhere in there. He didn't do much with them, but saw the carries, could see some goal line carries. This is more an indictment on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis than it is a praise of Michael Turner, but I think it's probably Michael Turner this week.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on here, Rick. I'll bring the sound effects back up. They went away. Here we go. Chris Johnson, Rick, Factor Fiction, manages to get into double digits in fantasy points this week against the Bears.
Ooh, I tell you what, that is a toughie. He is my sit.
Yeah.
That is for PPR only. Yeah, obviously.
I'll agree. Yeah, in that scenario,
I could see him getting, you know, maybe three or four catches.
Three grabs.
I mean, that's already, you know,
30 or 40 yards.
Right.
Yeah. So he'll be real close, but yeah, I think in that scenario. So it, depending on the bye weeks, 10, 11 fantasy points may be hard to sit. So, you know, so take that advice as it is under that those circumstances.
Yeah, I agree there. Okay. Willis McGahee will have over 100 yards at Cincinnati rushing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm real big on Willis McGahee at this point in the season. Keeps getting it done. Being on the road, you saw what Jonathan Dwyer did against Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, put up over 120 yards. I think that team can be run on. Willis McGahee having a lot of success, setting right up for right around that 100-yard total and, you know, possibly finding the end zone. I expect a good week out of Willis McGahee.
Yeah, I see everything in this game, you know, that we kind of talked about. We kind of high on Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and, of course, Andy Dalton. You know, having a good year in his own right, you know, and A.J. Green. But I see this game setting up. Cincinnati trying to pit a run game against Denver. They're going to lose that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, you sure don't want to throw again.
Don't try to gun it out with Manning. They're going to lose that, too. I think they're going to lose the game.
Trouble. Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, so let's jump out. Did you ask me that one?
Yes, I did.
Now, here's one I find interesting. We talked about this guy, I believe it was on Tuesday. Fact or fiction, Rick, Cecil Shorts has over 6 receptions this week against Detroit. I don't want to put yardage on it because of who his quarterback is.
Yeah, I think Detroit's going to be giving up some yards to Jacksonville. Actually, I think Rashard Jennings may be a legitimate flex start. Yeah, you know,
very possibly.
I don't think they win the game. They just seem to find ways to lose games. However,
as bad teams do.
Yeah. However, Cecil Shorts really been emerging, and they seem to have some chemistry together. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think in a three receiver league with a flex, Cecil Shorts is probably a guy you ought to be playing by now in that third wide receiver slot. Just he's getting all the targets. Blackman just completely just disappeared. He hasn't panned out whatsoever. And Shorts has somehow, from obscurity, come out to be the number one guy in that offense right now.
I agree. Now, fact or fiction?
All right. What is that? Halloween's over.
Listen to me.
Oh,
listen
sorry.
To me.
I'll just go ahead.
Remember what this is.
All right.
Has the Madden curse affected Calvin Johnson?
Oh, I like that, Rick. Well done. So that's your curse sound. I think you have to say he hasn't been an awful year. He has had some good games, but he's been down. Now he's injured. He's questionable going into this week. It gets you. That may not end your season, but it'll hold you down. And maybe it's affected all the Detroit Lions because they've been just a terrible team in general, been in complete disarray. I hate to do it. I'm going to chalk it up to the Madden curse.
Okay. You're superstitious. All right.
I am. So 2 minutes left, Rick. I'll shoot one more at you, and we'll wrap this thing up
okay.
for the week. Let's talk. Well, you already answered that, but let's bring it up again. Fact or fiction, Isaac Redman is a viable fantasy start this week against the Giants.
Oh, man. As an RB, there is a flex.
Yeah.
I can't really go much higher than that. I think, you know, starting running backs worth having in your lineup during bye weeks and you're stretching a little bit. Yeah. You know, if you're set and you're pretty deep and you have maybe like a Denarius Moore or someone like that to fill in for a flex spot, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to depend who you have. But I think
exactly.
a viable start.
Yeah.
He's not. I don't see him coming out with a 100-yard performance, duplicating what Dwyer's come the last week. But good in the passing game. Haley's been looking to throw the screen. Redmond's been pretty decent in the passing game. He should be good for around 10 fantasy points. And if he would find the end zone, then he's going to be a good fantasy start if he could find the end zone.
Exactly. And I don't know, just the way the Pittsburgh offense has been pretty well balanced and everything, he could really surprise
you.
Yeah,
you just never knew. Who thought Jonathan Dwyer was going to do that 2 weeks ago and then again last
week?
But
he's got to get away from that 2.9-yard per carry.
Yeah,
I mean, he has got to start hitting the holes and opening some holes for him like Dwyer's been picking and finding his way.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, that's it, Rick. We are completely out of time. Thank you, everybody. Again, the numbers just getting to the point of being ridiculous at this point, the way the numbers are going up as the season's going on. We really appreciate everybody checking out AsylumFantasyFootball.com, everyone at WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the Rock. This thing just keeps growing, and we sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And while we still have a couple of seconds, everyone over in New York, New Jersey, all those places, you know, once you get your power back and maybe you're just sitting back and listening to an archive, we've been thinking about you, and you know, hope everything gets back to normal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hopefully everything's back to normal, and we'll be back Tuesday night for the Tuesday Night Blitz, 6:30 on BTRFF.com and at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Till Tuesday, we'll see you.
Take care. Yeah, boy, I'm about to show me a set of slugger. Had a ticket and a stick with the crew.